Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to this week's Weekly D. Today, I have Jacob Colossa on, and we're going to be talking about his recent pole competition win, and also we're going to be talking about homophobia within the pole industry. This is an episode that I don't want you to miss out on, so without further ado, this is the Weekly D, because, honey, if you ain't getting your D on the daily, you better at least be getting it once on the weekly. If you're not getting any and you want some tea, then come and join Dan up on the Weekly D. It's the Weekly D. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I'm super excited to have someone back again. It's Jacob Colossa, the current Elite Pole Championships pole idol heelography winner. Am I correct?
That's correct.
How do they fit that title onto your trophy?
Barely. Do you know what? The moment it all finished, I was like, how the hell am I going to update my Instagram bio to fit this in?
You're going to have to just like do the letters. Just be like EPCH. Idol. Do you know what I mean? It's like crazy. I mean, that competition was pretty cool. For anyone listening who's like, what are they talking about? We're talking about the Elite Pole Championships that has just happened in the UK. And Jacob won his category. There was a lot of categories. It's funny because Mitch was there with a friend of his that she always hears about pole, and she's always like, oh, I really want to go to one of these competitions that you're always like selling stuff at. And then he was like, well, I'll take you to Elite because it's going to be one of the ones that I think, as someone who's never done pole before, is probably the best one to see. He took her along, and he was like, Jacob's not competing. He was like, well, it's on the Elite category now, and he's not on. I'm like, I was like, he's definitely in the Elite category. He was like, no, there's only like two people in this, or something like, he was like, there's only two people in Elite or something. I was like, huh? I was like, go and ask someone. I said, because something's not right there. And he got the list. So I think Darren had given him the list from their table or something. And he was like, oh my God. He was like, we're only on the Elite category. He's like, there's like more categories. He was like, fucking hell. That was a long ass day. What time did you leave?
So I think the comp, just in terms of actual performances and competing, was about 7 or over 7 hours long, and that included only one half an hour break. Because initially, I thought, like, okay, because the comp started at 4:30, and then when we were looking at the running order, it was going on to like practically 11, and we're like, how many breaks are there? Why is this going on for so long? And then we literally just looked at the running order, and it's like, no, it's one person after the other with only one break. So it's literally back to back to back to back. Because they had the tablets to do the judging and everything, and they had adjudicators and all of that, bless Bexita, she had some time to fill to give the judges the opportunity to like get all of the feedback in, because what was, I think, one of the coolest things about this one, obviously besides the fact that it was super high level and amazing performers on stage and the audience was absolutely sick, is that they've really done something that I've not seen at a comp, at least in the UK before, or for that matter, anything alongside the really organized like IPSF ones or whatever, is that they had two adjudicators. So they would basically check all of the judges' scores. And you know what it is like sometimes, like you'll get a judging sheet back and it'll say like, I don't know, in the music section, fantastic choice, amazing, absolutely brilliant, it fit perfectly, 7 out of 10. And it's like, well, what? So what could I have done? Where did I lose those 3 points? What else do you want from me? So that was basically the adjudicator's job. Like, does the feedback match the points? Will the contestant looking at this realize like, okay, this is why I lost a little bit here. This is what I can improve on. So they constantly push the judges to write more feedback so it's all understandable and fair, instead of just being like, I'm gonna knock down 2 points here just because I feel like it. Because, you know, not that they would do that, but what I mean is that that's what it looks like to you because you have no idea what you messed up and why you lost that. And then additionally, because there were 5 judges, they did, well, I'm not going to be able to list what sports this applies to, but I know it's like probably swimming and maybe some gymnastics or something, the highest scoring and lowest scoring judge for every person was discarded. So essentially, you only had the points from the three middle people in terms of every single person.
That's actually something that UKPBC used to do. And funny enough, obviously, this competition kind of was really brought in as almost like a new, the new UKPBC. And we'll talk a bit more about that in a second. So I wonder if maybe they took some inspiration from that to be like, well, let's try and do stuff very similar to what they used to do. But yeah, I mean, I saw the audience and the audience was freaking lit. Oh my God, it was so busy in there. Mitch was saying hardly any seats were free. Like one of my friends turned up and she was like, I can't get a seat because there's like just a few little sporadic ones available, which is kind of a big deal for UK comps because, well, as you know, they've just been shy, really. That sounds really tough.
Oh, God, I mean, that venue sits 900 people. So
it
is a big deal. Like for other comps, they'll even do, which I completely get, and I think it's a good idea, because when you have, like, let's say, a huge-ass venue like that, and then you have a 50% sellout or something, then people just kind of scatter around, and it doesn't look that busy, because people are, like, dotted around the whole thing, so they would, for other comps, just, like, put a curtain down, and then you only have half of the audience available, so what you can see is full, which is nicer, but here, there was no need for that, like, this bitch was packed.
It's funny, actually, because when me and Mitch used to run a competition called Air to the Chrome, I don't know if you ever heard of that one. That was years ago, so that was pre-COVID. And we had the same problem. It was like we just couldn't get the audience in to fill the venue. The stage was great, but the audience size was huge. Like, there was just no way we would sell that many tickets. So people then would just, like, spread out to their little groups, and it kind of ruins the vibe, whereas I assume at Elite it was probably really lit because, obviously, everyone sat next to each other. There was a competition years ago I used to compact with BPSC, and they had a smaller size theatre, and because of that everyone was sat quite close to each other, and it gave such a cool vibe, and everyone was like vibing with each other. I used to love that. So what was it like being back competing again? Because when was the last time you competed? It wasn't Voldemort, was it?
No, so the last time I solo competed was just after Voldemort. Competing in general, I did do the piece with Jazzy last year. So, but that was a doubles. The Pokemon one, the Team Rocket. But before that, so I did, well, I had quite, I always have these big gaps. So, I think like 2016, I did the Felix Kane one, and then I didn't compete for like over 3 years. Because I didn't do any comps in between that, 2016, like it was probably April 2016, something like that. And then the Exotic Gen one, that when I did Voldemort, that was November 2019. So that was 3.5 years later. And then 4 months later, a little bit less than that, in March 2020, like a week or something before all the lockdowns kicked and everything, were the Exotic Gen World Championships in Moscow. So I did that one, and then everything shut down. And then, now we're 2023. So about another 3 year gap from a solo competition.
Sure. And how did it feel?
I mean, mixed feelings. The comp vibe, the backstage, the people, that was immaculate. Like, you couldn't hope for a better vibe. You couldn't hope for a better atmosphere. It didn't matter if you were in a category together or not. We were all screaming for each other. We were all losing our voices screaming for each other. And I will say one thing, which is kind of going to be a segue into the pressure part of it, is that I feel like a lot of the people, especially in the pole idols category, felt like they weren't as prepared as they would want to be on the day. So that was stressing everybody out. But at the end of the day, we all went there. We didn't pull out. We showed up and we freaking did that. So at the end of the day, I was just so proud of myself and everybody else that felt like, oh my God, we don't have enough time. This is really, really tough, that we actually went and we actually did it. So that for me was like a big proud moment about everyone. But when it comes to competing or even guest performing or stuff like that, I'm not a massive fan of it. Like, I know some people absolutely live for the stage, and some people just can't wait for their next opportunity to go out and put a piece together and all of those things. I am not one of those people. Like, sometimes if, let's say, I'll get a concept in my head, like, I knew I wanted to do Voldemort. I knew I wanted to find epic music. And I was like, this is going to be so cool. So I was so excited to do that because it was a concept. Whereas this was, I felt like I was going in to compete, you know? Like, right. This is about doing a routine that's going to score well and all of that. And then, you know, it's a massive honor and privilege to be invited to, like, a category that's invitation only, you know? Sure. Whole idols, the highest, like, bringing all the dinosaurs back, putting us all together. But well, in the same
it's like
breath.
All the dinosaurs and then George. It's like, so all the dinosaurs who have been pole dancing for like years and years and years, and then you have this freaking crazy insane George.
You have the dinosaurs and then George to like clean up after all the dust from the dinosaurs.
I love how they put him on last. That really made me laugh because I was like, they obviously know that this guy is going to clean up today.
Absolutely.
I've never seen anything like it. Honestly. Yeah. But then I think for people who didn't follow George already, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, probably in Spanish it's said differently, but I think in the UK...
Everybody called him George on the day, and I think his boyfriend calls him George as well, so I think George is okay.
Perfect. But when he first came to this country to be with Jack, I went straight away for a private because I wasn't really expecting him to stay for that long. And then obviously their relationship has like blossomed, which is amazing. He's been here for a while now. And I followed him kind of ever since then, really. And I just remember thinking like, this guy is just like not even like human. Like the stuff that he can do is literally insane. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's super inspiring to watch. It's very, very impressive. I mean, it's a level of pole really that, you know, many people will never be able to achieve. It's just so
impressive. Dan, 99.9999999% of people will know. Like, I feel like he is at such a stupidly high level that there are a handful of people on this planet that could compete with that. Like, there are, like, literally an alien. He's a mutant. Like, exceptional talent. And so, you know, there's, like, him, and then there's also that really young guy, Alberto.
I was about to say him, too.
equally ridiculous. Like, we're talking, like, you know, when everybody for the first time saw Olga Trifonova and all of, like, these are the aliens. These are the people where it's like, you know what? You were born to do this. Like, this is... You can't. You cannot compete with that. Like, I can train 8 hours a day. I will never come close to being that good because they're just, they're hard workers and all of that, but they clearly have like a gift because there's no need to be that good at anything, really. You don't need to be good at, it's obnoxious, isn't it, to be that good at something.
Yeah, of course. It's like completely unnecessary. And you know, it's like, I actually messaged him. I haven't seen the whole thing yet. I messaged him straight away. I was like, oh my God, congratulations. I've seen some clips. And I was like, honestly, I think Cirque du Soleil are going to call you soon because I think that you are that sort of talent. That I think these are the sorts of people that are going to be calling you. I think he needs to be on like the Got Talent shows. He's like, he's so, so good. Like it's something special. And I love that. I just think he's so good. And now I know he's going to be here for a while. I'm going to go and get myself some private lessons with him because I'd love to be able to, it's one of those things like, you know, I'd love to be able to even just get a couple of things of those things. Yeah. How cool would that be? Like, that'd be so cool.
Maybe clear your week for after. Like, if you have the lesson on a Tuesday, make sure you're off Wednesday and Thursday with the massage booked.
I went for a private with him when he first came here, and I literally, the next day, I was like, oh my, my hands were so sore. All my calluses were coming off. I was like, oh my God, I'm dying. Yeah. But yeah, no, he was great. He was lovely. And congratulations, George. If you ever hear this, you were awesome. So there was in the idols category, you had artistic and you had Heels, but Heels was the busy one, right? Heels had a lot more people. Is that right?
No, it ended up, we did have on the running order initially, well, not on the running order, on the announced list, we were the biggest category initially because I think there were like 8 of us or 9 of us. But one person pulled out. So there were 7 of us on the day. Right. And I think that's the exact same. No, there were 6 in artistic, I think. But so there were other, I think there was it holography or was it professional? There was one other category that had as well 7 or 8 people in it. So we were one of the busier ones.
I love that they separated it. That was really cool, actually. I actually just yesterday, I just paid for a table because I want to go and watch next year.
Yes.
I want the full experience. I was like, you know what? Like, even if, I don't know, I got a crazy idea in my head where I was like, oh, I want to compete. At least I've got a table for my friends and stuff. So yeah. I just thought, you know, at least I've got it there. So it's available to me if I want.
But it's a good seat. It's a good seat. You're not going to regret it.
The tables looked awesome. And Mitch was saying, like, he wished he had the table. It looked really, really good. Hey, what's up, everyone? Sorry to interrupt your podcast. I just wanted to come on and tell you really quickly about one of our sponsors for this podcast, which is Superfly Honey. So tell me, do you want to be Superfly Honey? Well, honey, of course you do. Well, if you want to be Superfly, you need to make sure you get yourself some Superfly Honey grip leggings. Now, Superfly Honey specialize in these grip leggings that you may have seen all over Instagram at the moment. Everybody's wearing them. And these are great for anyone who like to just keep themselves a little bit more covered up. Maybe you're poling in a cold country and you need some extra grip because your skin just isn't giving you the grip you need. Well, Superfly Honey have got you covered with their grip leggings. Now, they told me to give an honest review, and I did have a pair sent to me, and I can tell you the only thing that was sad about them was that the pair they sent me didn't fit me. They were too small and they were too short because I needed their tall range. So if you're like me and you're a tall bitch too, guess what? They've got their own tall range. They obviously just didn't realize that I was a 6 foot glamazon. So they sent me their tall range and now I have one of their tall pairs of leggings and they fit so snug. There's no movement on them. I didn't feel like they were going to cause any friction. They were super tight to the legs, so they felt really comfortable. And for any of you out there who like to stay covered up, these are amazing for you and definitely an option to try out. So go and check out Superfly Honey. We were talking about the pressure of competing. And obviously, yes. One thing that I noticed was that obviously a lot of people in those categories are friends of mine. We're all people mm-hmm. at the same level. We used to all compete together, you know, mm-hmm. and we're all kind of in contact, I'd say. We're all quite friendly. You know, yeah. You, like Kirsty, Annette, I'm trying to think of some other people that I spoke to that had said the same sort of thing to me, that I don't feel like I'm prepared. I don't feel ready. I feel like I might even have to drop out. I just mm-hmm. feel like I haven't got the time to train. I feel like competing is so different now. I mean, what's your thoughts on the process running up? How different was it to what it was like for you competing, say, 6 years ago?
Well, I would say the pressure is completely different. I feel like the pressure is the biggest thing that's changed for me because I used to compete, I guess, you were the same. It was around the same period where we were all just like, one comp finish, what's the next one? Oh, and gosh. we would compete a lot. We'd be, you know, go abroad, we'd do all of those things. But the thing is, I didn't feel the pressure to have to perform very well because nobody besides my home country knew who the hell I was, you know? So it was like, if this guy who flew over from Poland, like, if he does very well, like, well done for him. If he doesn't, who cares? Right. I didn't put that pressure on myself as well, but I have to perform well because I was, you know, just really trying to break out on the international scene and all of those things. I hadn't achieved that yet. But and then suddenly,
now you're the UK sweetheart. Now you're the UK's heel sweetheart. You're like, fuck, there's all this pressure now.
You know, because then you also have like, they announce as, you know, pole idols, the best of the best, we're bringing back all of these people. And you cannot tell me that people aren't thinking this is going to be good. Like they were expecting us to be like, you would if you went to any event and they announced that you have like a idols or stars category and they're bringing out all these people, you'd be like, oh shit, well this, oh my god, buckle up, this is it, like shit's about to go down,
this is
gonna
be a fight to the death.
Yeah, so then you're just like, okay, well, I feel like I cannot not do well. And then you also have people coming up to you, you know, and they always mean this in the, this is a big compliment and they mean it in the nicest way possible. I'm just saying it from the point of pressure. Like they say, we can't wait for you to go on. We came here because we saw you on the list. We've been waiting to watch you for this long. And you're like, okay, no pressure then. Jesus Christ. Mm. Oh my God. So then I was just so nervous. So to go back to a point that I probably brought up like 15 minutes ago, I really enjoyed the vibe of the day. I loved the competition. It was just very, very stressful for me. And I felt a lot of pressure to just, as I'm sure everybody in the idols category felt a lot of pressure to do well. And then, you know, I wasn't fully happy with my performance when I came off. And it was just like, oh, this training went to waste and da-da-da-da. But then luckily, it's, you know, that feeling when you mess something up, but obviously besides you, who the hell's going to know? Nobody else knows what your routine's supposed to look like. And then everybody's like, what are you talking about? You couldn't tell anything. And then, they forced me to like, they were like, who has a video? Show him a video. And then I watched the video and I was like, okay, you're all right. You really can't tell, that I messed up here and here, but you know, when it happens on stage, you just think it looks like you fell and broke a leg and everything's mm-hmm. sloppy and your whole life is over. So I was just very like, and then I watched the video. I was like, do you know what? It was fine. It was fine.
You got to remember as well, though, I think we as professionals will look at something and be like, oh, that wasn't my best. But yeah. Actually, to someone who isn't a professional, that was fucking insane. Like, do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you know, it's the way, like, George might even watch his routine and be like, oh, I did that a little bit better in my run through, or, you know, and yeah. we would never know, because the thing is, mm-hmm. unless you've seen it before, that's what I mean, it's like your routine, unless someone has seen it before and seen you do it better, how would they know that that was a bad yeah. run? And you forget yeah. that, but I find with comps, 100%, I hate the pressure thing. The pressure thing really gets to me. It's one of the reasons why I don't really compete much anymore, is because actually, the stress of the run-up to the competition, that whole pressure that people put on you, like, you know, I've had people come up to me at competitions years ago and be like, oh, Dan, you fucking got this in the bag. You're going to win this. I'm like, guys, like, I haven't even been on stage yet. Like, don't say that to me. This is too much mm-hmm. pressure. Like, don't say it, because yeah. now you're going to jinx me. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes, I don't know what your vibe is on competing now after that's happened, because I find, mm-hmm. I remember we were talking about it just before your comp, and obviously at this point you hadn't won yet. You were stressed, yeah. you were really not excited. And, you know, we were talking about, like, I always say to people, I'm like, you have to experience the stage once, really, just to give it a go, just to see if you like it. And for me, yeah. I really love that 4 minutes of kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of like euphoria, isn't it? Like, you feel like amazing on stage. You're like, oh my God, mm-hmm. this is so fun. And everyone's screaming, like they're supporting you, and you feel really supported and loved when you're on stage. And that feeling is kind of irreplaceable. I mean, if you could bottle that and sell it, you'd be a millionaire. But yeah. sometimes I'm like, is that 4 minutes of euphoria worth the 4 months of stress that I've had to go through before? Because my costume doesn't fit, or my costume is affecting my jade split because it's covering my hair. Or, you know, and you know, you're just like,
it's making my balls come out.
Right, exactly. My balls hanging out, and I'm like, and you're just stressed about it. And you know, you're just like, and then like you've got the tears and like the stress tears, because you're like so tired and so like stressed out. So the yeah. only real benefits that I've ever found competing is that, really, obviously any title you get from it, the other benefit is that feeling you feel when you're on stage, because it does feel amazing, and mm-hmm. feeling like ripped as fuck because I've had to do so many run throughs of this routine normally, and I've like lost weight as a byproduct of it. It's the only kind yeah. of benefits. But I mean, how do you feel about it now after competing?
So I agree with the benefits, obviously, that you just said. I have a few more that I really cherish in terms of like doing these things. So like you said, you know, it's a couple of minutes on stage, and trust me, anybody who's not competed before, it goes like that. Like, you feel when you're doing your run-throughs at the studio, like, when will this song end? Jesus Christ. But then on stage, it literally feels like you walked on and you walked off. Like, that's mm. it. Because you're just focusing on doing every bit the best you can do. And before you know it, it's over. Song is over. All comes down, you know, just to those 4 minutes that you did on stage. But I personally really like just the memories and like the emotional connection to the event in general. Like, sometimes if I'm, I don't know, if I'm feeling a little bit down, or if I'm just feeling a little bit meh, like, this is why I love Instagram story archives, because I can just go back to a day that I really enjoyed, like a competition day where I have photos with so many amazing people and we were all vibing and we were having a great time and then we had an after party. And I'll just flick through those stories and make myself feel great because it brings me back to that day. So I think it lasts longer than 4 minutes. So, you know, it, like, stays with you for a while. But for this one in particular, like, I had the opportunity to work on my Up the Pole stuff with Carly Child, which I highly recommend. She's an absolute babe. And again, an alien. She's there with the aliens, I feel. Because this comp was not like a normal, like, the heels category was not like a normal heels category, like Exotic Generation or anything. You were expected to go up the pole and you were scored on your strength, flexibility, and whatever you do up on the pole. So I just thought, oh, okay, well, I've been obviously focusing on base work for the past couple of years predominantly, because that's what I'm booked for and that's what people pay me to teach them, you know? So then when it comes to this, I was like, well, I can't just come out with the same old combos I've been doing for years, especially, you know, you had some really skilled pole dancers in that category. Like, they added Annette as well. And, you know, Annette's freaking crazy. She's a beast up on that pole. So I was like, I can't look like an amateur next to, you know, people pulling off insane stunts up there. So I was like, I got to pull out the big guns. I got to get some help. So I was taking privates with Carly and, like, no matter how Saturday would have gone, nobody's going to take away from me the fact that I really bettered myself in terms of doing stuff up the pole, because I just never do it anymore. And I learned new tricks. I pushed myself. We explored. We discovered things. She pushed me to, like, try stuff that, like, if I just saw it on an Instagram video, I'd be like, are you crazy? There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. And then I was, you know? So I'm going to continue taking the lessons from time to time just to, you know, otherwise, you know, I just won't do it. I won't go up there. I'm like, no, yeah. I'm fine here. So I think those are the two benefits.
Do you think there's a reason why you don't go up the pole as much anymore? Is it because of time? Like, you just don't, because obviously you're creating content for socials, you're creating content for your online platform, and then you've got your studio that you run, so your MST classes there. Is it just because of time, or do you think there's any element of, like, do you think there was any element in you that was just like, you didn't want to go up the pole anymore? Is there anything deeper?
I think it's a combination of both. So number one, of course, time. And I was, funnily enough, I was actually having a conversation with Athena. If anybody doesn't know her, she's a flexibility coach. She Elastic Wolf on Instagram.
Crazy
and we were just crazy, bendy bitch. So we were just talking about just creative burnout. And when your hobby becomes your job, and from time to time, you know, it just feels like, you know, you started this thing, whatever it might be, whatever is your hobby that ended up being your job. And, you know, you did it because you're just obsessed with it and you love it. And then the moment, obviously, it becomes your job, and social media is so prevalent nowadays that you just feel like whatever you record and whatever you do is for marketing. It's to bring customers in. It's to, you know, push your profile further. So, I feel like it does turn a little bit into that at some times. So I completely lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
As you were talking, I was like, I wonder if he's lost his train of thought here.
I have.
No, I'll just say about, like, like, is there any other reason apart from
time? So that's, like, why I brought this up. Okay, yeah. So time. So you just find that you have to record all of these things for your socials and for your marketing. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, additionally to that, you have to find time to prep for this or, like, learn new things up the pole. And because you prioritize, obviously, your work, you just don't end up doing that. But then after some time, after a few, I guess, months have passed of me not really training stuff up on the pole, just playing around with base work, I low-key kind of got, like, a mental block with it, because I'm just like, oh, I've not done anything up there for ages. Why am I going to attempt this super bendy, crazy, splitty thingy? Because I'm just like, I'm just going to fail at it. I'm not going to be able to do it. La, 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 la.
So, and then I just ended up... bit.
I got in my head about it. I literally got to a point where I just told myself, I don't know how to pole dance anymore. Like, I know how to do base work. I know how to do heels. But I felt in terms of aerial work, I was like, I just feel like I'm not a pole dancer anymore. I don't know how to do anything up there anymore. But that's not true. It's just you've
had
a break.
Like when you haven't had sex for months and then you're like, oh my gosh, this is the first time.
I wouldn't know the feeling, Dan.
Yeah, obviously you're still a virgin. Obviously you're not married yet, so you're still a virgin angel.
Yes, I'm saving myself.
But yeah, you're saving yourself for marriage. But yeah, I just, I was just intrigued to know whether there was, and it's intriguing to know that there was a bit of mental block, because I think lots of people do, you know, it's so hard, like, to find a balance of both.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, I really struggle. I mean, people are always like, oh, how often do you train? I'm like, well, tricks once a week, heels maybe once a week. And really, that's all I get. Like, and I'm lucky if I get that. So normally I'll go and train heels with Ali once, and I'll go and train tricks with Rachel on a Thursday evening. We train till like 11 p.m. You know, it's not ideal, but it's all the time I get. And it's just that whole thing. You know, you just got to take those little nuggets of time you can get. It's like yesterday, you know, I taught a flow that I'd made, like, I think it was a week or so ago. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes just recording it. And, you know, you're just like, you have to take these little nuggets of time where you can. It's just so difficult. Whereas back when I was competing the most, all I did was teach at the studio and maybe the odd workshop here and there. And now it's like online. I don't know about you, but online really changed my time management, because I don't think people realize that we don't just press start on Zoom and then end and that's it done. It's all the marketing, uploading classes, editing classes. I like, you know, making little clips for socials to advertise it. It's fucking time consuming. It's crazy. I mean,
planning the classes is time consuming, because you can't just, you got these people like showing up week and like week after week. And at the beginning, like obviously you launch it, everybody has their like arsenal of tricks and transitions and all of that, that, you know, you would teach at workshops, like, you know, but if you have some people who have been with you for literally over a year or a year and a half, like I would not like disrespect people by not preparing for my own classes that I'm being paid for, you
for
know?
Sure, yeah.
So sometimes, because I expected low key at the beginning when I was launching this platform for it to just be like people who are like more beginner intermediate. And no, I have people who win exotic generation competitions. I have highly skilled dancers in here mixed with people who are just learning heels. So I'm like, well, I need to come up with interesting content that is achievable and, you know, possible to break down into levels. And sometimes, honestly, because you know what it's like, Dan, sometimes you'll come in and like things just happen like that. Choreo happens like that.
Yeah.
Tricks happen. And sometimes you're there for 5 hours and you're like, oh my God, I barely squeezed these two combos out of myself in 5 hours today. But you got to do it. You got to do it, because like, they deserve that. So that planning and the marketing and the editing and all of the admin stuff behind, you have no idea how time consuming an online platform is until you launch an online platform.
It's really funny, actually. So for my conditioning classes, I find that I get a lot of, you know, intermediate, some like higher beginner, and then some lower advanced, then a few kind of higher advanced. So it's a real mix. But for tricks, I find predominantly it's all sort of like higher, intermediate and above. Like you were saying, like you get some quite advanced people show up. It's not really the kind of people you would expect to be, you know, wanting to do online classes. I kind of thought it would be people who just want to get better at something, not people who were already pretty good at it anyway. And I've got a theory around why that is. But do you have any theories around why it's the higher levels that tend to do the online stuff?
Well, I'm guessing, well, from my perspective, if I was going to sign up to something, it would be probably just because whenever I train on my own, and I don't have anybody within my closest vicinity that I could go and take lessons from. So if I want to take a lesson myself, and it's not like a camp, obviously, or something like that, you know, we're going to exclude that, those rare events. I'm talking about regularity. You have to go online. So I would have to go to group classes with somebody online or take privates online like I did with Carly.
I think it's partly that, but if I'm honest, I think it's just the more advanced pole dancers are a little bit smarter. I think we have got a group of pole dancers who are really getting all the benefit from everything they can take from people online. And they're being smart, because actually it's that whole thing of like, how am I going to level myself up in this town where I've got this studio, sure, and the studio is great, but obviously the classes are more expensive in a studio. And they're like, how can I top this up and make myself next level without having to spend hundreds of pounds or dollars going to my studio more times a week? And so what they're doing is they're hybriding it. They're going to the studio and doing the stuff that they need a studio for. And then they're like, but for this other stuff, for my, you know, conditioning, heels work, stuff that's pretty safe to be able to learn at home, they're like, I'm going to pay to learn from one of the best, and I'm going to get Jacob to teach me these heels tricks, or I'm going to get Dan Rosen to teach me these tricks or whatever. And they're going online and they're paying less than what they would if they were to fly to us, or if they were to go to workshops every weekend. So these people, like so many of my students who are online trick students, oh my God, they're getting so fucking good. And I just sort of think, you guys are so clever, because to do that is like, I mean, you need a bit of self-motivation. That's the only thing. If you're the type of person that can be a bit lazy at home and you don't want to train or whatever, it's probably harder for you. But the people who are benefiting from it, fuck, they are really benefiting from it. Good for them.
Oh God, yeah. Because I mean, I always compare it to just like, because a lot of people sometimes do exactly what you just said. They travel, let's say, to Leeds to take a private, and they'll drive sometimes like 2.5 hours, you know, to take this private. And, you know, a lot of people just really enjoy that in person. Like some people are just in person people. Like that's sure. Like some people freaking love the studio. And you have the same thing with instructors. Some instructors hate teaching online, and some instructors love teaching online. And some instructors say, oh, that's my favorite part of my week, being in the studio with my students. Everybody's different in that respect, I guess. But when you look at it from a monetary perspective, I'm thinking like, for less money than you are paying for this private lesson alone, we're not even taking into account petrol or anything else, or the time that you dedicated to even get here and come back, you could have had a month's package, my highest package on my platform, where you would have 4 lessons a week, 3 stretch lessons and a heels lesson, plus like all of my past recordings, hundreds of tutorials, all of that for less than what you paid for this 1 hour together. And it, sometimes it's like the content that you requested to learn is literally on the platform.
Is on there. I know.
It's literally on there. So, yeah.
I mean, I get but it that some people do enjoy...
Some people like it. They do. Yeah, some people like to be in person, yeah.
Right, and I get that. It actually, it's really funny. Some of my online students, when I went to Canada, because I've got a lot of Canadians who train with me online, and when I went to Canada, a lot of them came to my workshops just because they want to meet you in person, and I think that's really flattering. I like that. Yeah. But yeah. It's kind of awesome, and I think people who are benefiting from online training are... just freaking killing it. I mean, it's one of those things, like, I took an online class yesterday with Polar Abbey. It was just convenient. I could just take it whenever I wanted. It was just great. So, yeah. So, well done to those people who are really getting that benefit, because it's awesome. So, I think that kind of concludes our competition training chat. Hey, what's up, everyone? I just wanted to interrupt this episode with a quick little bit of information on my online business, The Pole Destroyers. If you haven't found out about it already, The Pole Destroyers is an online platform which provides strength and conditioning coaching for pole online from the comfort of your own home. And I can't tell you how many pole dancers I meet on a daily basis who aren't able to achieve some of their dream moves because they aren't strong enough. And now you can be, by training from the comfort of your own home with this strength and conditioning program. Many people got a lot of success from my 31-day program, which you are able to access on demand, and you can also do live classes with me. But the thing that I love about this program is that each class has an individual theme. So we do all sorts of different themed classes. We have the Pole Destroyers quiz, we have Choreo Cardio, we have Flip the Coin, Dice of Doom. My cat Roxy teaches a class. Yes, cats can teach conditioning. You will be gobsmacked. It's just a really good, fun way to do conditioning at a really cost-effective price. So if that's something that you're interested in, please do go and check out thepoledestroyers.com, or head to my Instagram at danrosenpole, and feel free to DM me with any questions you have. Anyway, let's get back to the podcast. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, even though it did happen a little while ago, was homophobia within the This is where it's going to get good, people.
This is what they've been waiting for.
This is the bit they've been waiting for. So for those of you who don't know, I'm going to get you up to speed. We are going to mention names because why shouldn't we? So Anastasia Sokolova, who's quite a big name within, or used to be kind of like a, one of the bigger names within within the pole industry, she made a bit of a homophobic slur, maybe without realizing, maybe it wasn't intentional. And rather than apologizing,
it was intentional. Stop
and
it.
And then without apologizing, just continued to speak. And it just didn't stop, did it? I was just like, oh my God, she's making it worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, you know, like,
so you can, if you want to catch up on all of what actually happened and get the full details, you can go to my Instagram stories on Polos. I've got a highlight on there. Jacob's also got a highlight on here. Is it still on your highlights?
Yeah, it's on my highlights. And then obviously I have the one long video that I put on my grid.
Yeah. So it would be, if you have some time and you just want to get up to date on the gossip, pause this podcast right now, go over to our stories, get yourself up to date. But really, before we start talking about what she kind of did and how wrong it was, I mean, have you ever, apart from that, experienced any form of homophobia from the pole industry before?
I wouldn't really say from the pole industry that much. Like, I guess I've been pretty blessed in terms of, like, whenever I have said something along, like, if somebody asks you, what do you do for a living? And you say, oh, I'm a pole dancer, I do this. And I've always had positive reactions. Only maybe a handful of negative ones, but those were from just, you know, like, toxic masculinity, kind of like, oh, right, kind of guys that had nothing to do with the pole industry. In the pole industry in general, I guess the only homophobia you can experience is when people like that speak up. Because sometimes you'll have these dancers that are in the industry that maybe do more sporty or arty type or whatever, and then they'll like say like, oh, that's not men's pole dancing. Men's pole dancing is just flips and flags and all that, and you know.
So
there are people out there who have this kind of mindset. They just usually are clever enough to not say it out loud. But there are people who think that, yeah.
Yeah, it's so funny, isn't it? You know, when people are like, oh, yeah, this is men's pole dancing. And you know, before you even click on it, you're like, I know it's going to be a video of Dmitry Politov. You know, you're just like, I know already that this is going to be some viral video of Dmitry Politov. And I'm always correct. And you know, don't get me wrong, love Dmitry Politov, of course, love him. Mm-hmm. But there's not really one set style of pole dancing for men. And I think it did used to be. I have to say, when I first came into the pole industry, like me dancing in heels wasn't a thing. Like, it wasn't really available to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, but I wouldn't say I've really suffered from homophobia so much. Maybe behind my back, of course. But I've noticed as a male, whether it's because I'm gay or whether it's just because I'm male, that there's definitely been some othering and like kind of just putting me, trying to like get me out of the way. Because, and I say that because when I first did a competition in the UK, but this was, I mean, like 14 years ago. It was the first competition I did in Bristol, Bristol Pole Championship, shout out, to one of the first ones. But back then, men didn't really do competitions. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to do one. And that was one of the ones that was coming up. And I applied and they were like, well, you can compete, but you have to wear shoes. And I was like, well, I don't dance in heels. I was like, and then I went back to them. I was like, I've just read the rules. I said, it actually doesn't say heels. It says shoes. So does that mean I can wear trainers? And no, because at first I was like, why do you have to wear shoes? And they're like, oh, you know, it's like for health and safety. The venue have basically said no one's allowed to dance on the stage with bare feet. They have to wear shoes.
So
you're telling me that health and safety rather than being barefoot would rather than wear 8-inch pleasers. Telling me that health and safety told you, sorry. So I was like, well, it says shoes. Can I wear shoes? So I wore these black fucking trainers and I was dressed as a fucking a vampire. Oh God. Anyway, I won, so it's okay.
Are there videos of this performance? Because
I share it every now and then. When this episode airs, I'm going to make sure. So for anyone on the Friday, when this airs, I will try and make sure to remember to upload a little clip. It's so funny. I'm just so cringe. And you know, like I'm doing a layback and my feet are like all flexed and stuff. But everyone used to flex their feet in layback back then.
It
was just so normal.
It's okay.
And, but yeah, I remember just I remember feeling very much like they really don't want me to compete here. And then years later down the line, because I always say to people, like, I don't try to take away from myself, but I felt like I won a lot of competitions because it was something they hadn't seen before, was a man doing, like, stuff that the girls normally do. So you I think that kind of helps me. Honestly, I know it sounds terrible and I should be like, no, I won fair and square. But actually, I do think some of them, you know, I might have been head to head with someone who was exactly the same as me, just as good as me. But because I was a guy, they were like, God, that was so impressive to watch because they'd not seen it before. So, you know, still worked hard, but I definitely think the penis points helped. And I remember a couple of competitors started complaining that I was in the same category as them because they were like, oh, it's not fair. You know, he keeps winning. It's because he's a guy. Blah, blah, blah. And I remember this becoming a bit of an issue and people were complaining about me. And I just remember back then, that was when it didn't feel as welcoming. But that was years ago. And God, if we don't get that now. I mean, look, Elite Pole Championships, both of the Idol winners were men.
Yeah.
In fact, were you two the only men?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That is fucking nuts, isn't it? The two winners of the Idols category of the Elite Championships were both men, isn't that
I mean,
crazy?
In the Idols category, there were other men on the day.
For sure, of course. Yeah, like there was Tattoo Pole Boy, wasn't there? There was Doug was there.
Dr. D'Lo.
Yeah, Doug, yeah, his name's Doug. but yeah, so no, it is really, it's funny. It has changed a lot. So you've never experienced any like people trying to like not discriminate you. I mean, we're just kind of like, I don't know, push you aside because you're a guy. That's
no,
so cool.
Not really. I mean, I did, well, we started polling obviously in different countries and what year did you start?
2008.
Okay, so see, that was 4 years before I even went to my first lesson. Like, I started, right. I took my first ever lesson, like, the very back end. Like, I'm talking October, November 2012.
Poland?
In Poland. And it was the same thing, like, so we had, there was only one competition, really, in the whole country, the whole year, at that time. And it was just the Polish championships. But I think we've spoken about this before. Like, I was, they had a men's category, I was the only guy. I was the only guy there. So then I had more competition, obviously, when I went on to the European Championships, because then they finally gathered more of us together and, you know, you actually had somebody to compete against. But it was quite quiet there. And then now there's tons of incredible male pole dancers in Poland. But I've never had anything that like, oh, he doesn't belong here or anything. It's been really welcoming, to be completely honest. So I didn't have the same experience.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's lucky, obviously. We're quite privileged in that sense. I mean, do you, when this whole like situation with Anastasia happened, I mean, what was your first initial reaction? So for anyone, again, who doesn't really know about it, she basically posted, was it Gucci? No.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Dolce & Gabbana. She was like, oh, Dolce & Gabbana are posting makeup for men. You know, basically, aka men are supposed to be manly, men shouldn't wear makeup, you know.
Women are only meant to look pretty.
Women, yeah. You know, it was that whole, like, she thought, oh, women are supposed to be, like, feminine and, like, oh, like, long hair, pretty. I was like, oh, my God. Like, just stereotypical, you know, kind of very, very stereotypical.
Yeah.
And, but do you know what? I know this isn't a defense, and a lot of people did try to use it as a defense. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you feel about this, but they're all just like, you know, this is very much just Eastern European countries and the way that they see it. And it's sort of like a very much like a Russian-Ukrainian thing where they do see it like that the man is the man and the woman is the woman. And you know what I mean?
But, well, technically, geographically speaking, Poland is a Central European country, but I think everybody thinks it's more, Eastern, in mentality, it'll be more Eastern European than it is, you
for
know.
Sure.
I've always had mixed feelings about this because everybody that I know, like the young people that I know, that I grew up with, the people that I met obviously in the pole industry, all of the pole, there's no homophobia there. Like my friends, you know, there were some assholes obviously in high school who thought, you know, when they think that being homophobic or being hateful for any reason makes you cool, like because you called someone gay, like childish shit. But we're grown-ups now, you know, like people from school. I've not really experienced almost any negativity from that point. The pole industry, like from the beginning, nobody from, you know, even though it's like you would consider it like a conservative country, you know, I started dancing in heels. They love it. They book me for workshops there. I'm at camps there. People love it. Like, I don't have that. But then, you know, there's the whole rest of the country that you don't hang out with. And because I feel like sometimes you're just like, where are these people who have these backwards views? Where are these people who vote for this party or that party or to pass these laws or whatever? And it's like, well, it's, you know, there are a lot of more people in your country that you don't know. Because the reason you don't know, because you don't associate with people who think in such a different way, you know, to you.
But also, Do you think it's people that just don't outwardly say that they're voting that way? I mean, this is totally getting...
Oh, absolutely. Dan, I dated a guy, and I'm Polish, obviously. And after over a year, it was like a year and 3 months of the relationship, that's when I found out that he voted Brexit. And I'm like, you're dating a European guy, and you voted to leave. And I literally was with this guy for over a year, and then I found out. So that's how quiet people can be about their personal opinions and stuff like that. So that's, you know, just a little side note there. But there is definitely, if we're going to compare it to the United Kingdom or whatever, there are a lot of things in Eastern European mentality that will simply be different. Sure. It's going to be the whole thing with masculinity, like here in the UK, you know, obviously there are going to be like some areas where it's a little bit like, I don't know, more dangerous or rougher or anything like that. But in like general, Leeds. I can, sorry, like Leeds. Leeds, no, it's great in Leeds it is. So you know, I can walk.
Is it quite gay friendly in Leeds?
Oh yeah.
Oh really? That's why I said it, because I was like, I thought Leeds was supposed to be quite rough. Is it not rough then?
No.
Why did I think that?
We're like the fourth biggest city in the country, Dan.
Is there like a big gay scene there and stuff?
Oh well, there is a gay scene. We have a well, you know. You know how in Manchester you have the gay village and you have like two streets full of... So I call ours the gay corner, because there's just like one corner where all the gay bars are.
You've told me this before. Yeah. I've just remembered you saying about this gay corner. We've definitely talked about this before.
That's not an official name, by the way. Don't Google Leeds Gay Corner. That's just what I call it, because that's where all the bars
are. You'll come up with some gay cruising ground or something, probably. But yeah. Oh, okay. So,
I didn't finish the thingy, yeah, because I, for once in my life, I kept my train of thought. So you will have a lot of that mentality that, yes, of course, a lot of people there are going to think that a man should look and behave a certain way. If we're looking at the population in general, it's not going to be that prevalent in the pole dancing industry, because we have so many gay men in it, and we have so many men who just like wear makeup and wear heels and dance and do that. So, yeah, as a nation, absolutely fine. But she is a pole dancer. She's surrounded by these people. These people pay her money for workshops and other things. It's not like she can pretend that she's a 70-year-old grandma who just met a gay person for the first time.
Right.
You cannot do that. You do not have an excuse. You've been exposed to it. You've had years and years and years of a career to educate yourself on, you know, the fact that people can absolutely be different. But yes, in terms of like, if we're just gonna look at the topic in general about mentality, if we look at the countries as a total, you know, if I compare it to England, the thing, I don't know, body positivity is nowhere near at the same level as it would be in England. It's still very much like, you know, everyone should be skinny and everyone should this, and you know, they'd consider a lot of, I mean, I'm not talking about the pole industry, but I'm talking like a lot of people, like with my normal body, they'd be like, oh, you should lose some weight, you're fat, kind of thing, if I went back there. So it's just, I have one instructor, June, who, well, her heritage, I think her parents are from Hong Kong. I think she was born in England, but her parents are from Hong Kong. And she's like, yeah, and she, absolutely normal body, absolutely normal body. And then, you know, she said, when I go to Hong Kong, like, I'll literally be just by random strangers, ladies in shops or whatever, they'll tell me I'm fat. And it's like,
right,
some countries just, you know, not there yet in terms of the whole stuff.
I have been told that in Asian culture, that's super, like, common. It's actually funny. My stepmom's Jamaican. It's similar in her culture as well. Like, you know, a lot of her friends and stuff would be like, oh, Tash, you got fat. Like, do you know what I mean? They'll just say that, like, they don't mean it in a nasty way. They're just saying, like, you've put on weight kind of thing. Whereas we'd be really offended by that here. But, yeah, I see, the whole Anastasia thing for me, and people might not agree with this, but I don't think she was being intentionally homophobic, because it's like afterwards she was like, which was the funniest part, by the way, you know, when she was like, no, she's like, I don't mean the gay. She's like, I love gays and transvestites. And I was like,
yeah, I mean, you know, when it comes,
that's a language barrier, though.
That's a language barrier. That one I will give her. That English is not her first language, and agreed. You know, she speaks it well, but she's not like super duper fluent, if that makes sense. So
she's not going to know the difference between transvestite and transgender. You know, and I
yeah,
that. So
yeah, yeah,
I wasn't
yeah,
going to
so.
Really come heavy on her on that. But yeah. It's that whole thing of like, I feel like as well. When there's a topic that I don't know enough about to speak on it, I won't speak on it in any language.
But do you know what? This is what separates smart people from stupid people. And this is how sometimes stupid people get high positions at work, get positions in government. Because if you are quite a person, like analytical person, you know, like you will think before you speak. You'll be like, do I have the knowledge to form an opinion on this matter, or do I need to do some research and educate myself first? Stupid people don't do that. Stupid people are like, this popped into my head, it's going to come out of my mouth, and I'm going to speak about it like it's fact. And that's what people do. A lot of people do that. And then smart people, like, you will second guess whether you're correct. You'll ask a peer to review what you're about to say. Like, am I right on this? Like, am I wrong in any way? You're going to check. Stupid people don't do that. They're just like, this is in my head. It's coming out of my mouth. That's it. Like, that's my reality. And I'm not going to spend a single second of my day checking whether any of it's true.
Were you shocked at how many people were supporting her? Because I was.
How many? Like, compared to how many people were opposing her, I think it was like a very negligible fraction.
Yeah, sure. But even to know that there was, you know, when you're sort of like, I'm gobsmacked that there are any people supporting it. And what's really funny is that actually there was a Tuesday topic this week about homophobia, right? Which was about, someone was like, oh, you know, so it was basically like an instructor has been posting kind of anti-LGBTQ stuff. And is teaching at my studio. What do I do? Do I say something to the studio? Do I say something to the studio? But just asking for advice on what they should do.
Yeah.
And I was a bit like, oh, yeah, I'm not really sure either. Like, I don't know. It's so uncomfortable, isn't it? Like, because as soon as they find out it's you, it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's like, but at the same time, you know, I'm one of these people that I don't agree with homophobia. Like, so let me just be really clear on that. But
yeah.
If someone doesn't like me because I'm gay, that's their choice. That is their choice. I'm not going to berate them on that and be like, no, I'm not going to try and make someone pro-gay. And that's what I didn't want to do with Anastasia. I don't want to change her mind. If she's decided that she doesn't like gay people for whatever reason, or she doesn't like men that wear makeup, that's up to her. But it's more just a case of, I don't want to surround myself with people like that. So we're not going to really ever be friends. Or I'm not going to really talk to you unless you were to, you know, fully educate yourself and understand, you know. And I'm one of these people that I don't like the idea of having to turn someone who might be homophobic for many different reasons and being like, right, you have to be pro-gay now, otherwise we're going to cancel you. I think that's really wrong, and I don't think we should do that. Yeah. But I do think that if people are going to outwardly speak it online, you know, if they want to keep it in their head and they just don't like gay people, that's okay. I know that sounds terrible, but I think that is okay. But be that, you know, like, if you don't like oranges, you don't have to post online saying you fucking hate oranges and all oranges are cunts. And, you know, do you know what I mean? You don't have to do that.
But I think
in my head, just be like, I don't like them, and that's okay. I don't think we should be forcing anyone. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts on her particular situation, or anybody who's, I don't know, got some kind of business in an industry, I don't know, if you have services or products that people can purchase from you, especially if they're targeted to a community that disagrees with, you know, because it is a closed-minded statement. Like, I'll get to that again in a second, but she wasn't just a random woman in the street being like, oh, I don't like men in makeup. And it's like, well, I don't know who that woman is. I'm never going to see her again. Go on.
Yeah.
Carry on with your day. I can hate you. You can hate me. As long as we don't harm each other and we're not getting in each other's way, life is good. Fine. But she is a person who would take money from people she is clearly disgusted by. She would, you know, sell camps and merch and products and all of those things, and then feel so strongly about it to have to go on the internet and say the horrible things that she said. Because one of the main bits of feedback when I was sharing her clip, like of her speaking, people were like, why is she so angry? Why is she so angry? Because she was getting all built up and shaking. And I'm like, is this really such a big deal for you? How does it affect you? Like, okay, you have a preference. You like your men to look this specific way. Why do you need to be attracted to everybody in the streets? How many boyfriends do you have at once? Like, why does every person who passes you in the streets have to be a potential suitor for you? You're still going to be able to find yourself a nice man in a wife beater and stained cargo shorts with a photo holding a fish just like you like him. There are going to be plenty of men like that out there for you who will just sit on a sofa and ask you to bring them a beer because that is exactly what you want your life to look like. You want to be subservient to a man because your only role is to look pretty and you want a manly man. Probably stinks because he doesn't shower and has an unwashed ass. And that's the man you want. And listen, and that is okay, because I'm not going to live in that house. I'm not going to have to look at it. Like, it's fine. You live your life, but you do not walk out on the internet and tell people that everybody needs to be fitting of this format that you have envisioned for yourself. And I think she was rightfully called out, because as much as if she was a random woman on the street who didn't mean anything in any industry, whatever, let her get on with her life. But she is a woman who is selling products and services to people she is actively discriminating against, and people should know, so they know if they want to contribute to that or not. So I think in that respect, if you are a person who's known in the industry, absolutely you should be called out. Absolutely you should be held accountable, because I would hate for, let's say, me to book a lesson or me to buy something from somebody and then later find out that these are the views they hold, that they find me personally disgusting. I'd be like, give me a fucking refund. Like, you weren't disgusted when you were taking my money, so why are you disgusted now? So absolutely she deserved to be called out.
Yeah, I think as well, yeah, you're 100% right. I totally agree with that. And I think as well, like, it's the difference between... if she didn't understand it, that would be different, you know, because, like, you know, I'm happy to give my money to someone who maybe doesn't really understand what being gay is, and they can't really understand it, but, you know, it's that whole thing of, like, I try to love everyone, but, you know, it's like when it comes to issues for trans people and stuff, I'd love to be able to have these chats with you and, like, you know, help you, but I'm still learning, so I'm always like, you know, you're welcome in my space, of course, because I try to love on everyone, but, you know, I don't understand, but of course I empathize, and I hope that you get whatever it is that you need. And it's that whole thing of, like, she didn't do that. She had decided that it wasn't that she didn't understand why men were wearing makeup. She decided that she hated men wearing makeup.
Yes.
And like you said, she was getting so angry. Yeah. And I think had it been different, had she been like, hey guys, like, what's your thoughts on this? I don't really understand it. I think people would have been totally cool and been like, oh, actually, yeah, lots of men do now, because, you know, a lot of men feel like they get a lot of mental health issues because their skin's bad or whatever, and they want to wear makeup to make them feel better, you know? And maybe if she'd been a bit more open to it, but I think when you're a public figure, and, you know, and we can say that, a lot of pop people know who she is, it's just like, you can't say stuff like that, especially when...
But also, what were you hoping to achieve? What were you hoping to achieve? Did you think the head office of Dolce & Gabbana was going to see that video and call a board meeting and say, there's this angry woman on the internet, cancel the production line? Oh, also, she discovered that men have lashes and lips. Cancel the mascara and the lipstick that we were going to launch next month. Because what did she expect? Did she expect some man who wears makeup for his own self-confidence or own self-expression, because makeup's not just to look good, makeup is a form of self-expression as well. Do you expect a man who wears makeup to see that video and be like, well, better bin all of these products I bought because this one lady on the other side of the continent or other side of the planet doesn't personally like what were you hoping to achieve? There was nothing you were going to achieve except a spiral of hate. And there's one thing I want to say as well on the topic of why it's important to speak up when not only your group that you identify with is being targeted, but any group. And this is something that I want people to be mindful of whenever they hear people saying, I tolerate or I love X group, skin color, sexual orientation, gender identity, age, whatever makes us different, but I don't think they should blah. You know, I love gay people. I have so many gay friends, but I personally just don't think they should be allowed to get married. Absolutely not. I love women. I'm a massive feminist, but I don't think a woman should be president. Absolutely not. Because the moment you think it's up to you what other people that are different than you should be allowed to do and shouldn't be allowed to do, you don't see them as an equal human being to yourself. You see yourself as being up here as the blueprint of what a person should be and what people should aspire to be or identify as. And you feel like you, from that imaginary pedestal, can dictate who's allowed to do what. Oh, gay people, they're not on my level. You're not allowed to get married. I will decide whether you can get married or not. You know? So you can't then just come out and be like, I love gays. When you just said, oh, I'm allowed to do whatever the hell I want, but you can't wear makeup. You can't do this. You can't do that. Because it's just stupid. You can't support a group and say you love them whilst actively taking privileges and rights away from them and deciding what they're allowed to do or not. So let's just get clear on that topic. And also, and also one thing that I didn't end up saying in any of my videos, but that's really true. It's like, don't you think that it's really interesting that she, because, you know, she holds her traditional values that this is what a man should be and this is what a woman should be. But why is exactly she stopping at a point in progress that's convenient for her? Like, why is she stopping at a point in progress where she can get everything she wants, she can do whatever she wants, but nobody else can? You know, it's like, if you want to be traditional, why the hell are you working? Get yourself a man that you're going to listen to. Let him support you. Do everything he says. Like, close your bank account. Why do you have a bank account?
I get this, like, vibe off of her. It's very much like the only child syndrome vibe. I don't know if you get that as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, she obviously has been given everything to her, like, you know, it's obviously all been provided to her and stuff, and she's used to getting her own way. I very much get that vibe. It's giving
I mean, she's obsessed with herself, Dan. There's no going around it. Like, just the way she records her stories, everything's like everything's like, oh, look at me, I'm so tiny and I'm so cute. And it's like, you can't pretend to be tiny and cute when you have a nasty personality. Like, I mean,
don't get me wrong, I think, yeah, I get what you're saying. I think we should all have self-love, right? But
yeah,
there's like self-love and there's like, yeah.
There's like delusion. Yeah. There's self-love and there's delusion and narcissism.
Delusion. Oh, amazing. I love how you don't mix your words. It's true though.
No, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Like,
It's the hypocrisy that annoys me a bit, because you know that if Dolce & Gabbana called her tomorrow and said we want to do a poll campaign, oh, you think
she'd be all over it.
She wouldn't be like, well, actually, no, because I don't support what you're doing with men's makeup. She'd be like, oh, and can I get some free bags as well? Of course she would. She'd be all over that fucking money.
But of course she would.
I think... you could say a lot of people can be like that. You know, a lot of people will say one thing and then they'll do something else. But, you know, I just
feel like... the moment money's involved, yeah.
Right, yeah, the moment money or fame is involved, it changes people, I think. And, yeah, I've always gotten a bad vibe off of her. I've had experiences with her before, as everyone knows. And if you look on my highlight, you will see that.
Have you ever taken a lesson with her?
No, have you?
Yes, it was in the first years of me polling. So I think this might have been like 2014 or 2015. Like, I was polling for
online,
2 years.
Or face
no, 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 no. This was in person. I was living in Poland. She came to Poland, and oh my god, it was just the teaching was just not good. I'm sorry. It was pretty much, here's the trick. Why aren't you doing it yet? And it's like, well, if I wanted that kind of thing, I'd just watch your Instagram videos and try it myself, you know? But it was just warm up, straight into dynamic stuff, cold splits, left, middle split, right split, bounces from one leg to the other. It was a show off. The purpose was not to teach anybody. It was to show her capabilities. And then, you know, these were still the times when, you know, the butterfly drop was like still, wah, you know, the one that she did on that show.
The one that she's still milking. Yeah, that one.
So that was taught there. And I had never tried that before. I had never tried that drop before, and because I managed to do everything that she had done earlier in that same workshop, what she did was, without me even trying it, said, "Now everybody look at him, he's going to do it." And I was like, "Can I at least get a safety mat?" And she was like, "You don't need a mat, it's easy." And I'm like, sweating, all of these people that I don't know are watching me doing a dangerous trick for the first time. I could have fallen and broken my neck. Like, why would you do that to somebody? I just came out of there and I was like, this was the worst taught workshop I've ever taken in my life. And I still stand by that opinion after having taken many, many more.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I haven't taken a workshop with her. I can't comment on it. But I remember, so when the first time the Anastasia thing happened, someone messaged me and was like, "Have you ever done a workshop with her before?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "I don't intend on doing it either." They were like, "Oh my God." Yeah. Literally all she did was she just like got us all to like film her, and like she was demoing it and she wanted it to be like perfect and good lighting and stuff, and it was all like an Anastasia show. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. No,
yeah, it's just quite narcissistic vibes. Like, you know, for me, when I'm teaching workshops, I want to be the one that's kind of like cheering other people. I don't want to be anyone to be cheering me. You know, yeah. Do you ever get it in workshops sometimes when you demo a move and then people clap and you're like, "Thank you." I'm like, "Thanks." Like, that's so cute. And like,
yeah.
So, and I try to be like, I feel like, you know, it's very easy to allow pole fame to go to your head a little bit. I get it. Like, it's fine. And, you know, but you've got to try and be humble in some ways. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I wouldn't even just say try, I think if you get to a point where you start acting in such an absurd kind of way, you just need to check yourself and be like, why am I acting this way? How can I flip my mindset? Because it's not good behavior. There are so many stupidly talented people out there in the world. And when we come to, let's say, teach a workshop or teach a camp, we are there for the students, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. We are there to do a freaking job. And if you don't do your job of teaching these people, effectively and safely and stuff that is going to contribute to their pole journey, blah, 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 you failed your job. Like, so many like pole stars have like this vibe that people are here to just breathe the same air as me and be delighted that you can be in my presence. Fuck off. Get fucked right away. I'm sorry. You are not Madonna. Are not Madonna, girl. Calm the fuck down.
Chill the fuck out.
Like, chill. You are dancing on a piece of metal for a living. Shut the fuck up. Get off your high horse. Like, you'll get sometimes even people like, you can have people on judging panels and the same thing, and they just watch you like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bothered that I even have to be here. Throw money at me for existing. Stop it. Stop it right now. Yeah. I can't deal with that. No.
God, you know, it's so funny. I talk about that, and I'm one of these people that I always like to self-reflect and be like, oh God, I hope I've never been like that. Mm. I pray to God, if you've ever done a workshop with me and I've been like that, please message me and be like, you're a diva bitch, because I will change that shit. Like, fucking hell. Like, I try to make my workshops so much about the students because of a few things. Because I want them to have a good time, and I want them to have a good view of me, and I want them to be as happy with meeting me as they were excited to meet me. But also because if I come back to their country, I hope they'll come back. I hope they'll come back for more. You know what I mean? So it's like repeat business. It's like, you know, hopefully they'll, you know, if you really go out of your way to give someone a good experience, they're going to remember that, and they're going to have a good vibe from you. Yeah. That's what I want. And I just think, we've kind of gone off subject a bit there. But, you know, I think on like summary with her, I would just say like, what she did was wrong. I just wish she didn't keep digging a hole. I wish that what she had done is been like, right, okay, listen, everyone, I'm really sorry. Clearly, I have some learning to do here. The thing is as well, like, I know it sounds terrible, but especially when it comes to being cancelled online, she could have easily just been like, listen, guys, I'm really sorry. I didn't actually realize it was going to affect so many people. It seems I've got some learning to do. I'm going to go away and learn about everything that you've told me. Thank you so much for your feedback. End of. But you know what it was? She didn't want to give in to the I'm wrong. She didn't want to be wrong.
No, she just kept arguing. It's the narcissism. It's either I think it's one of two things. She's definitely a person that will never admit that she's wrong, even if she realizes it. But I think it just might be a case where it will never occur to her in life, not just about this topic, but about anything, that she could be wrong. I think in her head, like, it is her world. Everybody else is just visiting. And it's like, it's impossible for her to be wrong. So I think she's, again, delusion. I think she's detached from reality a little bit. Like, sometimes you also have, like, turn their Instagram profiles into, like, a reality show. Like, this is this about me. And it's like, people want to see you pole dance. Girl, I don't care if you had avocado on your toast this morning. I really don't. Like,
yeah, stop it. This part of me, yeah, why is she... I don't know. Do you not want to, like the people that you follow, do you not want to know a little bit about their lives? Like, I mean,
well, it depends how that information is delivered, Dan. It depends how that information is delivered. Like, if you're just sharing your life and all of that, that is absolutely fine. But if you're suddenly turning it, like sometimes they can turn their profiles into just, like, these are these things style. About me and da, da, da. Like, literally you can tell from the tone in which it's written is that they think that everybody's does nothing with their day but just wonder, like, oh, I wonder this fact about this person. Oh my god, thank you for blessing me with that information. That is different, like, when it is a self-obsessed point of view, right, to somebody just genuinely being like, oh, you know, I'm gonna walk with my dogs, oh, I'm going here with my partner, doing this, just, you know, sharing your life, sharing some facts, if some people ask a question or whatever. And then you can have the stuff where it's like, it's put out there because you personally think everybody should know everything about you because you're such a great person, you know?
Right, yeah.
That's what I mean.
I think when, and only really with pole dancers, because obviously there are influencers that, you know, I follow or whatever, and I like kind of reading about their lifestyle. I know it's really sad. I kind of buy into it a little bit, and I want to kind of know, like, maybe what they eat, or, like, mainly because I might follow fitness, you know, people, and I'm just intrigued, like, to see what does it take to live this kind of lifestyle or whatever.
Yeah.
And I met these two influencers, and they do influencing as a full-time job on a cruise once. And when I followed them, I'm just really intrigued to see how they do this as a job. I was like, this is so cool. And they talk a lot about how they do it as a job and their lives and stuff. And but that's kind of their job. Whereas I find with pole dancers, when pole dancers try to blend pole dancing and being an influencer, a lifestyle influencer, I'm a bit like, babe.
Yeah, like I'm not saying don't share anything about your life. It's just literally, like I said, it's the tone in which it's delivered. It's not genuine, like, oh, I think people are interested in this, like, so let me share it with you. It's more like, you all probably want to know everything about me because I'm so fantastic.
Because
so
I'm just, amazing. You know. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the tone I don't like. I'm just like, because you know that that's the person who's also going to be a diva in the workshop. You know that that's the person who's going to rock up and be like, this is about me, not about you who paid money and traveled to be here to learn something. This is about me.
Like, yeah, I have to say, like, I feel like I've been to very few workshops where it's been like that. Thank God. Especially when the price of workshops. Can you imagine paying, like, £50 or whatever, and then going there, and they just made it all about them, you'd be like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
I would say, like, it's that whole thing of, like, I feel you can tell whether someone's going to be like that just from their profile. I could have told anybody that Anastasia was going to be like that. Because you can tell from her profile.
Yeah.
But you know what? Sometimes you'll be surprised. And, you know, I hope she doesn't mind me saying her name, because I'm going to say something positive. But actually, do you follow Kira Noir?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So, like, Kira Noir sometimes posts a bit influencer-y. Like, you know, she'll post, like, her day and, like, her breakfast, and, like, all the girls are out for lunch and stuff. And I always reply to her, and I say to her, I'm like, you and Daria J are, like, living this, like, influencer lifestyle. They live in Bali. They go for brunch together. They go to... And I'm always like, girl, I'm like, this life you're living is ridiculous. And you would think, actually, that going to her workshops would be like that. But I loved her workshops. Her workshops were fucking awesome. So you can't always get it right.
Yeah.
But generally, I think you can tell. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I mean, what's your advice to people with regards to, you know, how to sniff out a homophobe and how to avoid supporting them?
Well, I wish there was some clear advice that was foolproof, but I mean, that doesn't exist. Somebody has to really expose their own approach. But you can tell kind of by, you know, if somebody does share a bit of their life on their social profile as well, you can kind of tell the people they hang around, the events they attend, the things they do with their life. You can kind of, like, for some people, through that already gauge where they stand on certain values in life. Mm-hmm. And just listen. I think in terms of educating yourself, talk less, listen more. Like, when somebody's talking to you about topics, especially if this is a person who is of a minority or different group that doesn't identify you, I always say, you know, it's not your place to be like, well, actually, like, if somebody's sharing their own life experience as, I don't know, a Black person, a gay person, a trans person, you know, you listen, because you've not lived that. You have no clue what you're talking about. And take that information, process it, and act accordingly, dependent on that. You know, I'm not trans, but if I heard that some, like, instructor I admire said something outwardly transphobic, or that they even just were transphobic in general, I'd be like, they're not discriminating against me, but you're not getting my money. Like, I'm sorry, you know, you can kind of, like, so I think it's pretty much just, like, listen to people who have, you know, people talk. Like, anybody who's been to any poll event, any poll camp, people talk about, you know, people they've taken lessons from, people they've learned from, the people they like, the people they don't like. But it is a bit of that, what do they call it, like, the hairdresser syndrome thing, that if your hairdresser does, like, a banging job on your hair, how many people are you going to tell? Like, maybe one, maybe two, if they ask about it. If they absolutely fuck up your hair, you're going to tell everybody.
Yeah, so you won't care. It's that whole thing of, like, I would say as well, like, make your own decision based on, you know, if you really like someone and someone said to you, oh, their workshop was shit, it's just one person. Maybe that just that one person didn't like it. Yeah, and you might go and love it. You know, so it doesn't mean you're going to hate it. You know, it's not to say, you know, I've been to workshops that I didn't like. It doesn't mean that everyone else hates it. It just wasn't for me. You know, and I think just exactly what Jacob said, listen, and just, like, literally online, just keep an ear out. And just like with the Anastasia thing, when she was called out, as a fan of hers, I would have been like, right, I'm going to watch and see how this pans out and see how she reacts to this. Yes. Because this is going to tell me, you know, the people, you know, shouting and being upset, you don't necessarily even have to listen to them. All you have to listen to is how they react to it. Yep. Because that is going to tell you everything you need to know.
Absolutely.
And then kind of just make a decision based on that. And I hope no one made a decision on her based on what I said. I hope they made, or you said as well, like, I hope people made a decision on her based off of the facts that were shared. And what, because a lot of the stuff I was sharing, it wasn't my opinion. I was just sharing what she was saying. I was literally just filming it and posting it. You know. Oh, by the way, why do you think she, because you know how she did that video and I, like, turned it into a nice audio to do a poll combo to, where she was like, dear Dan, I know you're watching me, but I find that really funny. And I've got a theory of why she did that. I think she only got angry with me because I was sharing it on the biggest platform I have, which is my Polos page. Mm-hmm. And because that page has a decent amount of people on it, I think she was like, oh no, everyone's going to see it. Whereas when it was, like, smaller creators that didn't have as many followers as her, I think she was like, oh, who cares? Like, you're
probably, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I have about, I don't know, around 35K, I guess, which is a good amount, but it's not 200K or, you know, 100. Right. It's not that number. So, and, you know, obviously, we've discussed that she's in love with herself. So, she's like, if I put up a video or whatever, she probably just looked at me as, like, who the hell is this? Like, what is he going to do with this 35K, you know? And then, surprise, surprise, my content speaking about it got, like, four times more interaction than hers shared to 180,000 people. So it's like, do people agree with you? Not sure, babe. But I think that's why. And also, you had beef in the past, didn't you? You two had beef in the past,
right.
I think.
She knows I'm not a fan. So, like, and I've always found everything that she does really sus. And I've always, every now and then, I get messages about her. You know, even this time I got messages that were like, oh, yeah, like, she kind of, like, body shamed me. And they sent me the screenshots. And I was like, I'm sharing this shit because I'm sorry, but if you're, like, if you are the type of pole dancer that, you know, posts Sunday Bum Day pictures, you need to see what she's saying about these fucking pictures, because you're supporting that, you know? And she's probably saying like, oh no, that's disgusting about your pictures and but you're actually supporting it. So it's so important that people know about it. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, what have you got coming up? What you got? Give us, oh, is your sale still on?
Yes. I mean, it's, what is it today? Thursday. It's Thursday. So it's up until tomorrow.
but do check Jacob's page out for any future sales that are going to come up. Didn't you say the next one you're going to do is Black Friday?
Yeah, Black Friday is the next one. Yeah.
We'll look out for Black Friday, of course. Tell us where people can find you. Tell us your website, what products and services you offer. Give us a plug. Let's go.
So you can find me at www.thepolewizard.com, where you can join me to either learn via tutorials or via live classes, a combination of both. And you can also choose a package that includes 3 stretch classes a week. So for like the ultimate shadow band package. And if you want to learn in person, you can either visit me in Leeds. I have Leeds Pole Dance Studio there, or in any events workshop. We have all the gays, all the trans people, all the non-binary people. Everybody gets along just fine.
Yeah.
People of all skin colors. We just somehow don't hate each other there. It's great.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time to come and chat to us and raise awareness of this very important issue. Thank you so much. Good luck with everything that you've got going.
Thanks for having me.
See you in September.
See you? Oh, God. Yeah, it's next month, isn't it? See you soon.
See you, back. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. And remember, if you ever have any requests of people that you would like to have on the episodes, drop me a message and let me know at Dan Rosenpol on Instagram. And I'll see you on the next episode. Bye. That was all the tea that you can get this week. Join me next time right here. It's the Weekly Tea.